All right. Good morning, everybody. I am not Eric Drozd. I'm Laura Carney. I am filling in for Eric. Apparently, he's suffering from a little bit of a turkey hangover, or so they tell me. Neil Adams, our producer, telling me that. So I hope everyone had a fantastic long weekend. Of course, us here at 570. Thanksgiving, never really a long weekend, but all for a good cause. We, of course, had our Oktoberfest family breakfast on Saturday morning. Hope you all made it out there for the delicious pancakes. And, of course, yesterday was the parade. And just hearing in Arlene's newscast there, the parade, they collected over $11,000 in cash and over $10,000 of non-perishable food items along the parade route. So very exciting there. Okay, so a lot coming up in the show today. We're going to be talking about robocalls in the municipal election. Very excited about this topic. We're going to have Chef Jason Bangerter from Langdon Hall coming on. He's going to be talking about fall food and sourcing local food. Also coming up at one, a topic that'll be really fun, I think. What was your dream job when you were young? What did you really want to be? But we're going to start the show off talking about our favorite topic, light rail transit. Of course, is ION a good investment? John Shortreed, Professor Emeritus of Civil and Environmental Engineering at University of Waterloo, joins us this morning. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Laura.
Okay, John. Well, tell me, is ION a good investment?
No.
Okay. Well, all right. Well, it was nice talking to you. See you later. you have gone in depth. You've looked at, it all started from a publication, Region News, that came out in May, saying what we would be paying for light rail transit. But you're kind of saying, no, those numbers aren't actually true. We're going to be paying a lot more for this. So tell me more about what you found in this.
First of all, the reason I wrote the piece was that the head financial guy at the region said, you know, we can afford it. Well, we can afford lots of things. The question is it a good investment? Because, I mean, otherwise you're just wasting taxpayers' dollars. The thing that struck me about the information from the region, it was a nice graphic and a little picture of a house. It said only $11 per year increase in your taxes. But it was under a title of cost. The actual budget, that over 7 years, that would add up to $77. So by 2018, the average taxpayer in the region will be paying, they say, $77 towards the ION. But the...
Which seems like nothing, really. I mean,
that's
not a big
deal. Very reasonable. But, yeah. But the reality is it's actually $225. That's what they've budgeted for, is a 12.9% increase for the ION and the associated expansion of the transit system, with the view that right now, if you're sitting in an office and you look around, there's seven people there. The region says one of those folks there that are driven to work or they drive to work, one out of seven are going to get out of their car and start taking the bus, start walking, start cycling. And, I mean, there's a whole bunch of assumptions which, if it was a good report to the region when they make their decisions, the chief financial officer should say, well, you know, this may be a bit optimistic, or there's this range of values. None of that was there. This is the greatest thing since sliced bread. Let's get on with it. We can afford it.
So now a big question that always comes up when talking about the LRT is, okay, well, so I'm understanding these are the numbers that you're coming up with, and this is what you believe to be true, and this is how much you think it's going to cost. But everyone always comes back and says, well, does it matter? I mean, shovel's already in the ground.
Well, that's true, and I think there's two questions there. One is, if the crowd down at the region who put this thing in without a referendum, with massaging all the numbers, without telling people there's going to be a lot of traffic congestion on King Street, without telling people there's going to be no stops between Victoria Street and the hospital, over a kilometer. You know, do you trust those people when the going gets tough, when they start and the cost overruns come and the budget implications come? Are they a good people to... you know, manage the train wreck that's going to happen? The second point is really the question of, well, so there's a lot of money being spent now, but how much money is going to be spent in the future? And anyway, could the right-of-way work for bus transit? Because We don't know a lot about the contract because it's all secret, but it appears that it can be a process of negotiation. So one could say, well, okay, let's, before we put in the tracks, before we put in the wires, we've got the right-of-way. It's all being constructed now. Weber Street's being expanded because King Street's going to be full of, they're going to take two lanes away from King Street. Could that be reused? How much of the existing money could be reused for something that would be a good investment?
And, okay, so, but again, I feel like they've had that discussion. So, I mean, you know, and I just, one thing, I just want you to clarify this for me, because I'm not the greatest with numbers. It's why I work in radio. In your article, the one line that I just wasn't totally sure on, and maybe you can clarify it for me. You say the region's 2014 budget estimates an ION increase of $225 per household by 2018 for 30 years. So are you saying that starting in 2018, for the next 30 years after that, we're going to be paying $225 extra?
Right.
Okay.
Every year for 30 years. And that's an average.
Right.
So a lot of folks that are listening, they say, you know, the average taxes are somewhere around $4,000. They say, well, we pay more than that. So that's the average. But that's the average of the average expenditure. The region gets $2,000. And about $1,700 is for things that other than water and sewer, which are where they calculate the 12.9%. And that will be each and every year. And it's going to ramp up from today. It's going to ramp up until 2018. So every year there's going to be an increase till we get up to the $225 a year extra taxes for the ION and the expanded bus service.
Okay, and then going by what you said, okay, so $225, let's say, okay, we will accept that, that's fine. But then the other issue is what you're saying is that the numbers aren't there to support this project. So not only will we be shelling out all this extra money, but people aren't, that you don't think that the projected numbers of the people that are going to be using it will be using it.
Correct.
So then what happens? Are they just going to say, okay, well, you know, at 2018 or 2017 when it starts running, if we don't have the numbers, then what do we do?
Well, there's two kinds of numbers. One are pretty well fixed, which is what they're paying GrandLink every year. And with HST and inflation, it soon approaches $50 million a year. The second part is they're saying, well, probably be $9 million a year come back in revenues. Well, the $9 million a year isn't there. And not only that, but the ridership isn't there, and the taxpayers are going to get a bit excited because they'll see all these empty buses and streetcars running up and down. And there'll have to be adjustments. Plus, the region has this plan. The 12.9%, in addition to that, the region says, well, we'll cut back a whole bunch of services. And anybody who followed the budgeting this year will see that actually that cutback didn't reach their target. That's pretty tough because you're cutting out things, services that people want and people use.
And yeah, that they're already relying on something that's actually already here.
Right.
Okay, and now you used to be a city councilor, am I correct?
Correct. Long, long time ago.
Was it before they started talking about the LRT?
Oh, yeah, it was back in the 70s.
Okay. So well before that. But then, you know, as a former councilor, you kind of understand the more so as well the inner workings of how a council works. You know, say you were on council today, would you have been opposed to the LRT?
Yes.
All right. Well, John?
Mainly because we're just too small. I mean, we're the biggest center is downtown Kitchener. It's 15,000 now, might grow to 25,000 daily commuters. Contrast that with Toronto of 500,000. It just people think about transit. They're often thinking about transit in Toronto. They're not thinking about transit in a little town with no big downtown, with no traffic congestion to downtown, and with the cheapest parking for a big census metropolitan area in Canada.
Well, and again, you know, and this is another thing that I've heard brought up a number of times, you know, sometimes, yeah, I have to take the bus downtown to come to work. But if I had to pick between driving my car and taking the bus, I'm going to pick my car. It's just, That's just kind of, I think, in a smaller center like this, you know, Toronto, yeah, second nature, public transit, obviously. Why would you want to deal with that traffic? But in somewhere like Kitchener, where it's not so huge, you know, it's just easier to take your car.
It is. And in Toronto in rush hour, you save time by taking the transit.
Yep.
Here, you're going to double your trip time.
Well, because you're still dealing with so many cars on the road.
Well, no, you double your trip time on the, if you took to transit, because cars are still relatively fast in Kitchener-Waterloo, and they will maintain a fairly good speed over the next 20 years. Because we're not a big city, and, you know, people go to work. All these high-tech workers, I live in a building where a lot of high-tech workers, they go to work at 10, 11 o'clock. They come home at 10 or 11 o'clock. They don't go in rush hour.
Exactly.
That's a five-minute trip for them versus 15 minutes on the transit.
All right, John. Well, I really appreciate your time.
Thank you very much, Laura.
Okay, bye now. So that was John Shortreed, Professor Emeritus of Civil and Environmental Engineering at University of Waterloo, saying the ION, not a good investment. He understands shovels are in the ground, but he's saying it's not too late to maybe look at more of a bus rapid transit project. So is ION a good investment? Do you feel like officials are hiding financial details? Again, how he touched on the fact that in this, the Region News, a publication that was released in May, saying that we'll only be paying $11 on an average household for this project every year. But the fact is that John saying that over time, it'll equal much more than that. And so we will be taking your calls. The phone numbers are coming your way. This is the Midday Show on 570 News and Rogers TV Cable 20.
By 2018, the average taxpayer in the region will be paying, they say, $77 towards the ION.
570 Midday continues with Eric Drozd.
And this is Laura Carney filling in for Eric Drozd this morning. Again, you can give us a call at 519-570-2545. Out of town, 1-800-570-5715. Of course, hands-free on your cell, star 570. You can also email me, laura@570news.com. We are asking, is the ION a good investment? We go to Frank, who's been patiently waiting on the line. Frank, is it a good investment?
I don't know. I think we're going to be, in 10 years from now, we're going to be left scratching our heads, wondering why we're paying so much in extra taxes. And people got to remember, too, that this thing right now, like, it only travels north and south. It doesn't even travel east and west. So people got to be aware of that.
And
thank you.
So, go
ahead.
I was going to ask you. So, Frank, are you planning on taking the ION?
No, just because, well, maybe I have a newborn kid. Maybe when she's a little older, we'll get her on it a little bit. But me personally, no. I get to places faster in my car.
All right. Thanks so much, Frank.
Yeah, thanks.
All right. And now we go to Bill. Bill, ION, good investment. Yes or no?
You know what? It's only going to be a good investment if this is the first little piece in a wider kind of a transport system. I mean, you know, the way it's stated now, even if it goes down to Cambridge, you know, there is going to be limited use of it, right? There's only two sort of captive audiences which you could count on now and in the future. One is if all the students, or they build more student housing along the line, maybe all the way down to Cambridge, and then also if they make it a better connection to places like Hamilton, and if it's a way to take a bus to the ION, to the train station, to Toronto, if they, you know, for the people as they get older and they can't drive their cars. So, you know, for the elderly and for students, if student housing is built along the line, then it would make sense. And also, if not just Southern Ontario, but if someday you could even add Western New York into a regional transportation system, you know, and make it easier to cross the border, and also, you know, to go to locations in the States besides in the Southern Ontario area, you know, better transit is necessary. Yeah, it's going to cost money, you know, but they really need to be upfront about it. Tell us how many billions of dollars it's going to be, and let us know it's a really long-term process.
Well, and also, too, you know, I feel like they're pitching it as more of a commuter idea rather than, you know, for the elderly or for students. So they'll use it as well. But I think they're trying to pitch it is for commuters. But a lot of people that I'm hearing from are saying that, you know, commuters are going to use their cars.
Because commuters are of that age where, you know, and also the two things, right, independence and the ability to drive. Mm-hmm. Students may not be able to afford a car. The elderly, you know, as I'm 63, as I get to be 83, 93, and if I live so long, I'm not going to be driving probably as much as I am now.
All right. Thanks so much, Bill. Okay, and now we're going to go to Larry. Larry, Ion, good investments?
No, I fit in the elderly category. I'd never use it.
No?
If I go to grocery shopping, it won't be going anywhere I go. And if it did, well, I wouldn't be able to cart that many bags of groceries home. And I'd also have to walk about 2 miles just to get to a bus stop. That's the way it is where I live now. There's no bus service where I live, and it's a stupid thing that there isn't, because there's two schools in my neighborhood, and there's lots of places that the buses could run through here. It would take them 5 minutes to go through my neighborhood to get me out to Fairview Plaza,
yeah.
And they don't. So, and as far as if I was working, when I get off work, I want to go grocery shopping or somewhere running around doing errands. I don't want to be hopping on a bus or taking the Ion. I think it's the stupidest thing I ever heard of. We had light rail transit in Kitchener way back when I was a kid. We had trolleys running up and down King Street, and they decided they were a bad idea, and they took them all out. And now they're just, they can't think of what to do with our money, I guess, so they got to come up with more stupid ideas. Year after year, it gets stupider. And then we had a vibrant downtown area. They haven't done anything to bring back the downtown core for decades. We had 3 supermarkets downtown at one time.
And now it's, look at it now. All right, Larry, I'm going to have to let you go, though. We've got a lot of people wanting to comment on the Ion. Thanks so much. All right, we're going to go to Dave now. Dave, Ion, yay or nay? Good investment?
I'm actually going to go, yes.
Oh, my gosh. This is so exciting. You win a prize.
Okay. You look at some of the big projects, not just here, but around the area. When they built what is now the Conestoga Expressway, it went with some bitter opposition. In Toronto, with their subway lines and their big transit commission, they had big-time opposition. Now look at both of those projects. The expressway is now the best thing going for us, and the Toronto Transit, if you're a subway taker. Okay, so now just think, they get it built, it's going to work. I think so there, and it's only going to get bigger and better.
Build it and they will come. That's what you're saying.
Exactly.
All right. Thanks, Dave.
No problem.
All right. So now we go to Rob, Ion, good investments?
Yeah, I think so. And I think that last caller had a great point. I mean, a lot of people are against that Conestoga Expressway, but I think people are missing the big picture here. This is about a transportation device, yes. I keep hearing people talk about a mall-to-mall transportation. This is going to work in conjunction with other transportation, yes, but the big aspect that everyone seems to neglect is the fact that it's about infrastructure. You look at downtown Kitchener right now, you've got companies like Google saying, I'm going to invest here because of things like LRT. Mm-hmm. And we've had a big spur in growth in our downtowns. And a lot has to do with that infrastructure. And if people keep talking about how I'm not going to take the LRT because it's not best suited for me. They got to think about other people, the future of our children, how they use transportation differently than you and I.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to make that point.
Yeah, it's all changing. Thanks so much, Rob. Really appreciate it. Also taking a quick look at my email now, Kevin, he says no to Ion. He's voting for express buses. All right, so Kevin gets an express bus vote. I think that's the first one voting for that one. But we did actually have a couple people saying yay to Ion. That actually surprised me a little bit. All right, so we're going to wrap that topic up. We're going to be heading to news in a couple of minutes now. Our next topic coming up is sticking sort of with municipal politics, robocalls. How do you feel about them? Coming up next. Well, welcome back. I'm Laura Carney, filling in for Eric Drozd on the 570 News Midday Show. Well, I made it through the first 30 minutes, so that's a win. We're going to move on to robocalls now. Of course, the municipal election is here, almost upon us. It's almost October 27th. It's amazing how fast time flies. Some people have been saying that they've been getting robocalls this municipal election. Normally, we only hear about that in a federal or provincial election, so a little bit of a different take on that there. Bob Williams, political science professor emeritus at the University of Waterloo, joining us now. Good morning, Bob.
Good morning, Laura.
So, Bob, robocalls in a municipal election. Your thoughts?
Well, I can't recall it happening in Waterloo Region before. It may have happened in larger centers, but it seems to me that this is something new and probably something that's here to stay.
Okay, now I just want to, I guess, say that I think robocalls have been given a bad name. It sounds very negative when you say it. I think based on what happened in Guelph in the federal election.
I agree. Yes, they are not the kind of call you like to get, the same, but, you know, it's used elsewhere. I don't know how many calls I get telling me I've won a cruise or various other things. So it seems to be part of the advertising landscape today, and you're right. It doesn't always lead people to think this is a positive addition to the election scene.
It may or may not have been our talk show producer. I don't want to throw him under the bus, but he was saying, he's like, the good thing with robocalls is that you can just hang up your phone.
Yes, and I have to admit that has happened in my own case. I'm in Waterloo. I've had at least three candidates contact me through robocalls, and I have to say that the calls haven't always come at a convenient time, and I think I perhaps haven't given them very full attention. But yes, yeah, you can certainly drop the phone back to where it was and let carry on with what you were doing, which I'm sure is not what the candidate wants.
Well, no, of course not. And it costs money to do, obviously.
Yes.
They're spending money on this.
That's right.
And so, okay, a lot of candidates are doing it. And I think why, to me, it seems odd to be doing it during a municipal election is, okay, you live in Waterloo.
Yep.
So say everyone running in Waterloo sent you a robocall. I mean, oh my gosh, that you would be bombarded.
Yes, but the difference so far, and I can't say that I've got everything in hand here. The calls I've had are from candidates who are running across the whole city. Now, so that would mean candidates for mayor or candidates for the regional councilor seats, and those are people who have a much different agenda, if I can put it that way. They've got a lot more territory to cover than, for example, in ward races. And it may be that some of the wards have had calls. I happen to live in a ward where there was an acclamation, so so there is no campaign per se. I don't know how many candidates in the wards have done it, but you're right. If all of them, we've got one ward at least with four candidates, we've got four candidates for mayor, we've got six or seven candidates for regional councilor, that could be a lot of calls.
Unplug your phone.
That's right.
Now, the question that we'll be putting out to our listeners in a little bit, but I'm going to ask you, how do you feel about robocalls, and are they better or worse than election signs?
Oh, gosh, I don't know that that's the direct trade-off. I think your point earlier is important. They can be much more intrusive for a lot of people. They come at a bad time, or they're just not something they can they want to deal with. Lawn signs and signs along the roadway, at least you don't have to look. The downside of that is that by now, when the campaign's been on for several weeks, you tend to tune out. They're just there, and you recognize the colors and you the images, and you can sort of ignore them too. So, are they more of a nuisance? I think for a lot of people they are, but the trade-off is that those candidates are not going to come to my door. Very likely they're not going to make it across the whole city. That's an even bigger requirement, especially for a part-time politician. The robocall, at least, it can be done without the candidate having to do the hands-on. Yeah, well, that's a downside.
And that was one of the issues brought up in this one article. Barry Verbandovic, for example, saying that the growth in the region, it makes it difficult for a candidate to go to every single door.
Yes.
Especially all across Kitchener. I mean, that's a lot of people.
I agree. Yes. And certainly people in campaigns for regional chair would have the same, in fact, multiplied, magnified. So it's a sign, I guess, of the increasing population that candidates have to cover, and the fact that that technology is now there. It wasn't there before, so we're gradually seeing a change, just the way social media are changing the way some candidates operate. This is now, a campaign expense that some have decided they can afford to do for the sake of contacting more people with less drain and wear and tear on the candidate himself or herself.
Now, I don't know if you can answer this question, but it's something that I just thought of. So I don't have a landline. Like, I mm-hmm. just have my cell phone.
Yeah.
So, and I feel there have been studies and stories done saying that more people are leading towards getting rid of their landline. Would that make it almost impossible to do a robocall? Like, how would they get my cell phone number?
Yeah, that's a good question, and I don't have the technical expertise to know that. I have a vague feeling I've had a few calls on my cell phone.
That, I have one. Cruises on my cell phone.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's right. And so whether candidates can get access to that, I don't know. So I'm not the answer. I don't have the answer to that. But that is also suggesting that perhaps as a tool, it will not be as pervasive as we might think, just because of the changing use of telephones.
Okay, but and so at the end of the day, I mean, a rope. Like, I personally would prefer if I had to pick between someone knocking on my door, you know, at 8 o'clock at night, or getting a random phone call from a number I don't know at 8 o'clock at night. I would go with the random phone call.
Probably true. Probably true. And it is as I said, it's a trade-off a candidate has to make. You will, if you're so inclined to want to find out some more. Certainly you will listen in, and I have made it a point, partly because of what we're talking about here and my interest in it. I have listened to calls just to see what, in fact, is being promoted. That's easier to deal with, both to listen to it and to turn it off than at the door. I think people are not as interested in opening the door, and once they've done so, the candidate... it's very hard to say to the candidate, sorry, I don't want to hear you.
Oh, yeah, exactly. And, you know, obviously we've talked a lot about, you know, with all of the elections that we've had sort of in our area over the past, you know, 3 years, that there is sort of a voter turnout decline. We know this. Mm-hmm. But I think where this municipal election might actually surprise us. Now, I don't want to step on your toes because obviously you're an expert at this and I'm not. But, I mean, the LRT, I feel like a lot of people are going to go out and vote just on that topic alone.
That's a good possibility, yes. And the other thing in both Kitchener and Waterloo is the fact that there are competitions for mayor.
Yes.
That, in my experience, has been a factor in driving turnout. We haven't had a serious competition for regional chair for some years, if ever. Mm-hmm. And so that is adding to it, whether it's LRT-driven or anything else. A competitive race for chair and for mayor certainly will contribute. But I agree with you. I think there is a degree of concern over the question of LRT. And as I've suggested in other cases, it's as much to do with the cost as anything. And so people will probably feel that they better go out and have a say, even though in some ways, and I know people won't all agree with me, that should have driven it last time around.
Absolutely.
Not so much this time,
yeah.
But that's a different direction than perhaps your question was aimed.
Well, yeah, I just thought, you know, I had you on the phone, might as well talk to you a little
okay,
bit about the election
yeah.
itself.
Yeah.
But so robocalls, you think that's the way that we're going to go?
Well, again, I think your point about the move away from landlines may mean that it is not as successful as many would like it to be. I don't think it's going to go away because it is a practice that has proven to be of some value, obviously in marketing in general and in political marketing in particular. But it will be there, I think, until something better comes along, and it is probably better than some of the techniques that candidates have had to rely on in the past.
Okay, great. Thank you so much, Bob. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure, Laura.
Okay, and that was Bob Williams, political science professor emeritus at the University of Waterloo. We are talking about robocalls. How do you feel about them? The phone numbers are coming your way. This is the Midday Show on 570 News and on Rogers TV Cable 20.
We haven't had a serious competition for regional chair, you know, for some years, if ever. That is adding to it, whether it's LRT-driven or anything else. A competitive race for chair and for mayor certainly will contribute.
570 Midday continues with Eric Drozd.
And this is Laura Carney filling in for Eric Drozd today on the Midday Show. Now, as you heard, that was Bob Williams, political science professor emeritus at the University of Waterloo. We were talking about robocalls and, you know, have you received any robocalls? How do you feel about robocalls? Is the word robocall a little more negative sounding than it should be? Are robocalls better or worse than election signs? You can give us a call locally, 519-570-2545. Out of town, 1-800-570-5715. Of course, you can always call us on your cell, hands-free, *570, or shoot me an email, laura@570news.com. Now, Bob was saying that, yes, he himself has received robocalls. I have not. I know our producer, Neil Adams, has received some robocalls. The good thing about robocalls, both of them have said, although Bob was honest that he listened to his, but you can always just hang up the phone on them. But then I brought up the fact that, you know, okay, so if, you know, they do cost money. It's not something free that you can do. It costs money to send out a robocall. So imagine getting a robocall from everyone who was running. You would be literally bombarded. But again, because it costs money, the reality of that happening, probably not too great. Now, as far as election signs go, whether or not you prefer robocalls to election signs, where I live, it's in Kitchener. And so basically I drive down Ottawa Street. And if you drive down Ottawa, I mean, you are bombarded by election signs, which is fine. I get it. You know, everyone wants to put up their election signs, but are you really seeing them? No. You know, you kind of drive past them and don't really notice them. So is a robocall more effective because they're physically calling you? Would you prefer the face-to-face interaction? Would you rather talk to someone? Would you rather someone come knock on your door? The argument with that is that the region is growing and maybe you're not, you know, the candidate isn't able to go to your door, everyone's door in Kitchener, or if you're, say, running for regional chair, I mean, the likelihood that they're going to be able to go to everyone's door is, you know, it's practically impossible. So let us know what you think. Again, how do you feel about robocalls? Are they better or worse than election signs? You can give us a call locally, 519-570-2545. If you're out of town, 1-800-570-5715. On your cell phone, hands-free, *570, or you can always email me, laura@570news.com. I believe we have a phone call. We do. Grant. Hello, Grant.
Yeah. No, I haven't received any of these calls, but it's good in a way to have these because, one, there's senior citizens that are on their own, and their memory isn't the greatest, so it jogs their memory. Hey, I've got to go to vote another day or so. No, it's a good idea.
Okay, and now if you had to pick between a robocall or, you know, a candidate coming to your door, which would you prefer?
I think I'd rather have a robocall because it could be like a vacuum salesman.
Yeah, you never know.
You can't get rid of them.
Exactly. In this way, like we were saying earlier, that, you know, if you're interested, if they get you enough on the phone, you'll keep listening. But if someone's at your door, you kind of feel obligated to stand there and listen to their spiel, whether or not you agree with it.
Or you have to invite them in. It's like, oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
There goes a half hour now.
Now I have to make them coffee. And yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, thanks so much, Grant. So Grant's saying that, yay, he prefers robocalls. So, again, I haven't received one. Now, I don't have a landline. I only have a cell phone. So I don't know if, or a smartphone. Do we even call them smart cell phones anymore? So I don't know if that's going to play into this. You know, are robocalls the way that we're going to be going? We're not sure. You know, Bob, admittedly, not, you know, overly technical on that side of things, our guest earlier, Bob Williams, political science professor at the University of Waterloo, because, you know, how will they get your number if you're not in the book? or online, I guess. So maybe temporarily robocalls are the wave of the current future, but then moving forward, I guess we'd probably have to go into social media. And then do you want to be bombarded on social media? I don't know. It's a really tricky question. So again, how do you feel about robocalls? You can shoot me an email, laura@570news.com, on your cell phone, hands-free, *570. Locally, if you're in town, 570-2545, or out of town, 1-800-570-5715. Oh, I see the phone lines lighting up. Waiting for my producer, Matt, to put them through for me. Robocalls. Yeah, I don't know. I've never had one. Don't know how I feel about it. Terry, how do you feel about robocalls?
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good. So I'm actually running in Ward 9.
Okay.
And I personally will not use a robocall. I do not like robocalls.
Okay.
If you can't come around yourself or have somebody that represents you and totally believes in what you're doing come around, then I don't think you should be able to receive a vote from anybody.
Okay, but now with that though, Terry, you know, you're running for a councillor position, so the number of doors that you have to go knock on is limited. You know, for somebody who's running for regional chair, you know, they may not be able to reach it to every house.
Yeah, I back in June, I believe I already had somebody come to my door, which was really nice. I'm thinking they started very early.
I think I've had one person come to my door, and I live in a pretty populated area. So, all right, face-to-face interaction. Thanks so much, Terry. And now we're going to go to Karen. Karen, how do you feel about robocalls?
I don't know about them, but the coming to the door,
yeah.
I was very upset a few weeks ago. Somebody came to my door for this council or whatever,
mm-hmm.
and they came about 8 o'clock at night. Now, I'm retired. They scared the
no kidding
out of me.
Yeah.
And I do not appreciate it. Once it gets dark, I don't think anybody should be coming to your door.
I totally agree. I know, and it's hard, right? Because they have to eat dinner too. But it would almost be like a, you know, 5 to 5:30. That would be like an appropriate time to come to someone's door.
Yes.
But 8 o'clock, you're settling in, right? You know,
yes.
The lights are turned off. Yeah, I totally get it. All right, thanks so much, Karen.
Thanks.
And now we're gonna go to Larry. Larry, robocalls. How do you feel about them?
I'd say no, thank you, because I pay my phone bill, and I have the phone for my own personal use, not so that telemarketers and politicians can call me up any time, day or night. So I would find it an aggravation. I don't answer my phone, and I don't bother with it unless somebody leaves me a message to call them back, and that never happens unless it's a personal friend or something. So I'm totally against it. It's just a matter of principle with me. I pay my phone bill because I want a phone for my personal use. I don't care about the election isn't that big a deal in my mind, because whoever you elect in this town, it's just going to be the same no-brainer.
Okay.
Mentality.
I do want to ask, okay, so if you had to pick, though, between a robocall and someone, a candidate coming and knocking on your door, what would you take?
I wouldn't pick either. I'll tell you
no,
what.
No, you have to pick one. You have to pick one.
Well, I preferred watching the debates
okay.
on your station. That's what I've been doing, and that gives me a better insight into who I may or may not vote for.
All right.
I like your debates. I watch Channel 20.
Oh, good stuff. Thank you very much. All right. Thanks so much, Larry. All right. So robocalls, a lot of people are not a really big fan of them. Again, I haven't received one. I did almost win a cruise one time, though. That was pretty exciting. But then I was like, oh, wait, I don't think this is true. Okay. So coming up at 11:05, after we take a break for news, very excited about this one. We have Chef Jason Bangerter. If you don't know the name, you know where he works. He works at Langdon Hall. He's the executive chef there. And so we will have more from him coming up. News is next. This is the Midday Show on 570 News and Rogers TV.